Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Summer, we bless the Liverpool. Me a running out of the blessings are in the me a dead. Imagine caught a traffic at the copper and over. What's to be?
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
I'm in the priest. Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am close to 190. I'm the 190 to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm close to blessed. Close to blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed. Welcome. Thank you so much for tuning in. We have been studying from the theme, Having Faith in the Midst of Trouble. Tonight, our subtopic is Peace Be Still. Peace Be Still. Tonight, dear friend, I want you to understand that whatever is going on in your life, God is able to bring calm and peace to your situation. Bow your head and let us pray. Father, we just give you glory, honor, and praise. We magnify your holy name. We thank you, Lord, for this time of fellowship that we're able to study the Word of God together. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would truly touch in a special way. Pray that you would touch our hearts and our minds. Lord, truly open up our understanding that we might be able to understand the things of God. Lord, increase our faith, Lord. You've already given us a measure of faith, but increase our faith, God, so that we can believe you for the impossible. Lord, we just thank you for bringing us this far by faith. We realize that we could not have made it without your help, without your strength. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us up to this point. And Lord Jesus, we thank you because we have so much more in front of us, oh God. Help us to give you praise, glory, and honor, God, in everything that we do. And Father, we just say thanks to you right now. Bless those that are listening, oh God, and those that will hear this message. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Dear friend, we have truly been just so blessed to be able to study the Word of God, to be able to understand how much God loves us and how much He thinks about us and how we are always on His mind. And as we begin our study on tonight, our study will be taken from the book of Mark, chapter 4, beginning at the 35th verse. Mark chapter 4, beginning at the 35th verse, where Jesus calmed the water. The Bible says, "And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Who is the scripture talking about? The scripture is talking about Jesus. And it is talking about him being with his disciples in a ship on the sea. Now, what has been happening to Jesus is that as he began his ministry, as he began to preach and to teach the people, many heard about him from various places, and they came to hear this man. They came to hear him speak, and many began to believe that he truly was the Son of God, as we know that he is. And so multitudes followed him. When they say multitude, they're talking about hundreds and thousands of people followed him. And so at some point during that day, it says when the evening was come, that means it was sundown, the Bible says he told his disciples, let's go over to the other side. So in other words, they got into the ship and they were about to continue over to the other side. And they also had several little boats with them. So in other words, it wasn't just enough that Jesus left and he was about to rest with his disciples. There were people that were actually following him. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with the big bands, whether it's gospel or whether it's rock or whatever it is. You've got people that are groupies that just follow those people around. They go from place to place and they follow these people around. Well, Jesus had developed a following. And so wherever he went, people followed him. People wanted to see more miracles. They were hungry for God. Dear friend, are you hungry for God? Do you know that God has a calling on your life and that he is calling you to seek his face? He's calling you to draw close to him. And whatever situation you have going on in your life, he is able to bring calm. He's able to bring peace. What does the word peace mean? Peace means lack of anxiety. So in other words, peace is that state of mind where you're not worrying because you know everything is going to be all right. Peace is that state of mind where you can sleep at night and you don't need to take sleeping pills or whatever because God just has put such a calm in your spirit that you can lay down at night and be, you know, at rest. You can lay down at night and not toss and turn in your bed because you already know without a shadow of a doubt that God has everything worked out for you already. And so when you have peace, what you're saying is that I have put everything into God's hands and I believe that he can handle it. And so I am calm. My system is calm. My heart is calm. My mind is calm. My spirit is calm because I know that God is handling my business. And you see, when you know that God is handling your business, you can walk around with a smile on your face. You can sleep at night. You don't have to constantly take Motrin or Advil or whatever it is to try to help you or some prescription from the doctor to try to help you. Why? Because you already know that God is working out everything and it's going to be in your favor. You see, because we know that when we surrender our lives to God, that he does show favor on those that are his. Amen and amen. You see, I love to know that because I have given my heart to Jesus, because I have given my heart to the Lord, and I have surrendered my everything to him, that he is bestowing favor upon me. You see, God can choose to bless whoever he wants to bless. And I am just foolish enough to believe that if I would just do what God is calling me to do, that God is going to bless me. And that I don't have to guess at it. I don't have to surmise. I don't have to try to make it up in my mind. I already know. It's written in the Word of God that whatever I need, that God will supply it, God will give it to me, and so I don't have to guess whether God is going to meet my need or not. I already know that God is going to meet my need. Friend, you don't have to guess that God is going to meet your need. God is going to meet your need. Everything that you are praying about, God has already heard it. And he is already speaking peace over your life. He is already speaking peace over your family. He is already speaking peace over your situation. You don't have a thing to worry about. You just need to put your trust in God. You just need to pray and ask him to direct you. And when you ask him to direct you, he will speak to you, and he will tell you exactly what to do. The Bible says in verse 35 that he said to his disciples, Jesus said to his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, so he told the people to go. That doesn't necessarily mean they left, but he told the people to go. And the reason why I know that all of them did not go is, as I mentioned before, there were little ships with them. Now, there were only 12 of them, plus Jesus made 13. So I know that all of them could hold in that one ship. And so Jesus did not have some of his disciples in those other little ships. Those were some groupies. Those were people who were following them around, who were determined to stick with him. Now, I think just looking at that, it is worth our, you know, investigation. Now, what is there to investigate? Well, I think we ought to look at the fact that these people were so hungry for God that they were not even willing to be dismissed. Even though it was sundown, it was time for them to go home. It was time for them to go home, back to their families. These people were so desirous of the things of God. They were so desirous to learn more about God and to learn more about the kingdom of God that even though Jesus said, good night, sayonara, see you later, they were not willing to go anyplace. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus pushed off out to sea, that not only was there the ship that he and his disciples were in, but there were other people. You know, there are times when people try to discourage us from the things of God. We've got to be so determined to draw close to God that it doesn't matter what anyone says to try to dissuade us, that we will be so persistent in our pursuit of God that we will not allow anyone or anything to stop us from drawing close to God, to stop us from getting more knowledge about God, to stop us from hearing the voice of God. You know, sometimes we can get so discouraged from listening to the people around us and listening to TV and what have you that we lose sight of the call of God on our lives. I want you to understand, dear friend, that you don't need to fall into that trap of the enemy. The trap that the enemy sets for individuals that are seriously seeking after God is that he will set up what I would call, you know, little mini bombs all over the place. If you fought in Vietnam, as I've been told by some of the soldiers, not personally, but I've seen them talking about it on television, they said that even after the wars, whether it was the Vietnam War or the World War One or Two, whichever, that in some places where those wars were fought in hand-to-hand combat, they said that the people living in those areas have to be careful because in those areas there were bombs that were hidden in the ground. And those bombs were hidden on purpose so that if the enemy tried to attack you at night, that those bombs would actually get to them before they got to you. And so in some parts of the world where hand-to-hand combat was fought, some of those bombs are still being found by innocent people who happen to walk that way and bombs go off and they get injured and lose legs or limbs or what have you. And so those bombs that were planted in the ground deliberately during whatever war it was, whether it was Vietnam or World War One or Two, those bombs were for a specific reason, to kill the enemy. I want you to know, dear friend, that the enemy of our souls, which is Satan, he has planted bombs in places all around our lives, because we are, in essence, in a hand-to-hand combat with the enemy of our souls. And so he will deliberately try to get you to sin against God by planting negative seed bombs, I would call them, negative seed bombs that would get you thinking so negatively that it would cause the enemy to actually infiltrate your barracks, to infiltrate the barrier that you have put around your heart, the barrier that you have put around your mind. And you have to be so careful, because in hand-to-hand combat, if you are not properly prepared with your armor, you can be seriously injured. Those who fight in hand-to-hand combat always have their head covered, always have their heart covered, always have, you know, their feet covered. I have never seen an officer in the army go into battle without being properly armored, because they knew that wherever they went, there was a chance that the enemy could attack them. And so they always go into battle prepared. My friend, the Bible speaks about Jesus calming the water, and he is able to calm your situation. But you must first understand that you are in a battle. And in this battle that I've referred to as hand-to-hand combat, you've got to understand that when the enemy comes against you to infiltrate your barracks or your barrier that you have put around you, you've got to be ready. You've got to be seeking the face of God. You must admire these people that followed Jesus from place to place, because they were so hungry for the things of God that they did not even care if they had food. On several occasions, Jesus had to, you know, say, listen, the people are hungry. We need to feed them. We've got to be like these people that followed Jesus around. In as much that we are so hungry for the things of God, that we seek God with all our hearts and all our minds, and even when it seems like, you know, we haven't even eaten yet, I'm not going to eat right now. I need to read one more chapter of the Word of God. I need to pray a little while longer. I need to seek the face of God a little while longer. We've got to be like those people that were so hungry for God that it did not matter what their circumstance was, what their situation was. They knew that just listening to the voice of Jesus could bring peace to their weary souls. They knew that just listening to the voice of Jesus could solve their every problem that they were facing. They were willing to be hungry. They were willing to be out in the rain. They were willing to be out in the hot sun. They were willing to do whatever they had to do to hear the voice of Jesus, to listen to him talk, to watch him do his miracles. I want you to know, dear friend, that God has great things in store for you, but he is waiting on you to hunger after him, to thirst after him, to understand that the things of God must be so important in your life that you will not let people, places, or things hinder you from seeking the face of God, that you will not let people, places, or things stop you from getting in the very presence of God. Sometimes we can get too busy. I know it. I've done it myself. Get too busy to pray, too busy to study, too busy to do that, and too busy to do the other. Sometimes you have to just slow down and say, Lord, I'm listening to you. Direct me. Speak to me. I need a word from you, Lord. I need to understand, Lord, what direction you need for me to go with my life. It doesn't matter who you are. You might be an evangelist, a preacher, teacher, a mother, grandmother, auntie. It does not matter who you are. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. God has great things for you to do. And it might seem as if it cannot be done. But I want you to know that it can be done. With God, all things are possible. Doesn't matter what age you are. I know of a grandmother who got saved at the age of 70 and started preaching. It does not matter what your age is. It does not matter who you are, whether you are black or white. It does not matter your ethnicity. I want you to know it does not matter what country you're from. God is calling you. God is speaking to your heart. And God is saying to you right now that he can bring peace. He can bring calm to your situation. All you need to do is put your trust in God, because God cares about you. He wants to touch you right now. He wants to bless you right now. And all you need to do is begin to praise God right now and begin to speak to him and begin to tell him that you know that he has given you a measure of faith and that you just need to exercise that faith. Exercise that faith. What do I mean by exercise that faith? It means that you begin to actually do the things that God has called you to do. You begin to speak faith over your life. You begin to act as if you have faith. Amen. We bless God. The Bible says in verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. The Bible says that as they went out into the sea, that the wind came up. Now, let's be real. Let's just dissect this even a little bit. Did Jesus know that the wind was going to come? Of course he did. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Did he do this on purpose? Well, I don't know, but that's a possibility, because Jesus uses all types of things to teach. And this was a teaching moment to see whether his disciples had faith or not. Do you understand that if there's a storm brewing in your life, if there's a situation that you can't handle, that this could be a situation that is set up by God to see whether you will trust him or not, to see whether you will have faith or not? My friend, God wants you to be victorious. He wants you to be an overcomer. And every situation in your life that seems difficult, that seems challenging, this is your opportunity to say, Lord, I have faith. I understand that this is just a test. Amen. If you have ever been watching television, you will see that something comes across. I don't know if it happens in every country, but I know it happens in the United States. Here in the United States, there is something that comes across the television every once in a while, and it says that this is just a test of the emergency broadcast system. And this comes across the television. Had there been an emergency, it would have been followed by some kind of emergency listing. If you've lived in Florida long enough, you'll see that when there is a tornado watch or a hurricane watch or what have you, that right after you hear that beep, beep, beep sound, you will see that it gives you something about a tornado watch or something about a hurricane watch. And so we see that in our lives, we will see that there are times when it seems as if it's a storm that is brewing, that is about to overcome us. But if we will understand that it is just a test, it is just an emergency test to see whether we're paying attention or not, to see whether we understand who God is or not, to see whether we realize that if we would just stop for a minute and pray, if we would just stop for a minute and talk to God, if we would just stop for a minute and open up our mouths and say, Lord, I know that you hear me. I know that you understand what I'm going through. I know that you see my heart. I know that you see my life. And Lord, I thank you right now that this is just a test, that I am getting through this test. I am going to see another day victorious. I am going to see another day that I am an overcomer, and I am going to see that God is still on his throne. He still loves me. He still cares about me, and I am going to make it through this day because God is still with me. My friend, lift your hands up and give God some praise because God is still on his throne. He still loves you. He still cares about you. And there is no problem that is too great for God. He is still a way maker, and he is still the person that calms every storm in your life. The Bible says this storm rose up. This storm rose up while they were on the sea. And the Bible tells us that it began to beat into the ship. Now, if you have ever watched the news reports of the hurricane, you will see that they show all types of pictures of the wind blowing against the pier, the wind blowing against the ships out in the sea, and the ones that are not tied down properly, they blow away. We have seen pictures of tsunamis and different things over and over again, and so we are familiar with the sea beating against the side of the ships. Now, I cannot imagine being in a ship out in the middle of a storm. I don't think I would enjoy that very much. But the Bible tells us that this is what happened, that Jesus was in the ship with his disciples and that the wind began to beat against the ship and that apparently water was coming into the ship. Because the Bible says, and it was now full. Full meaning full of water because the waves were coming over the sides of the ship. My friend, have you ever felt as if you were full because so much problems were hitting you at one time that you felt like you were full, like you couldn't handle it? Well, this is what happens to us in life sometimes. Sometimes the winds of life beat us down so much that we feel as if, you know, my plate is full. Lord, I just cannot take anymore. My plate is full right now, and I wish you would just do something to help me because my plate is just full. And you sit there and you're saying, how much more can I handle, Lord? My plate is full. Well, this is the situation that the disciples were facing. The ship was beginning to get full of water, and they became afraid and were wondering how much more could they take with this wind and these waves, all this water coming into the boat. Look at verse 38. The Bible says, and he was in the hinder part, that means the back part, of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Now, Jesus, you know, has a sense of humor. First, he goes out on the sea with his disciples, knowing that the wind is going to be blowing, knowing that his disciples were going to go berserk. He gets himself comfortable in the back of the boat, and the Bible even tells us that the man had a pillow. And so Jesus had a pillow, had made himself comfortable in the back of the boat. And here his disciples are going crazy because the boat is filling up with water. And I'm assuming that, you know, Jesus just yawns a little bit and looks at them as if to say, what? And can you imagine these disciples looking at him, you know, sort of strange, like, you can do miracles and you've done all these things and yet you're going to sleep while the boat is filling with water, we're about to sink. But look at what the disciples say to him. Verse 38, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now imagine this. Jesus is in the boat with them. Jesus, the great I am that I am, the man, the rabbi, God himself, who has been doing all these miracles, and they have been traveling up and down with him and watching him do all these miracles, and had the nerve to say to him, "Don't you care that we're about to die? Carest thou not that we perish?" Now, what kind of question is that for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? You see, it shows us that you can be walking with somebody and not know who they really are. You can be in the church and not really be saved. You can be going to church for years and just be religious and not actually have a relationship with God. These disciples had been walking with Jesus for so long, yet they did not really know who he was. Had they known who he was, they would have said, "Lord, don't even bother to get up off your pillow. Could you just wave your hand or something? Because the water is you know, the storm is raging. We needed to be calm. Jesus, please, don't even get up. Just wave your hands for us, please." But apparently, they didn't know who they were dealing with. They walked with Jesus, but still did not know who Jesus was. My friend, have you been going to church for years and don't know who God really is? Have you surrendered your life to God? Do you know that he is the Son of God? Do you know that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Do you know that you must give your heart and your life to Jesus? Apparently, the disciples weren't sure who they were traveling with because they came and asked him if he didn't care if they were going to die. Now, Jesus is in the boat with them. Jesus is not going to sink. You know, granted, he can walk on water, but why would he bring them out in the middle of the water to kill them? And so we see that his own disciples had a long way to go in having faith in him because they traveled with him but still had no faith. Look at what verse 39 says. "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still." Jesus got up and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace be still." I want you to know, dear friend, that just the way that Jesus was able to rebuke the wind that was raging out there on the sea, that he is able to rebuke whatever it is that's coming against you, whatever it is that's hindering your progress in God, whatever it is that's had you down and depressed, God is able to rebuke all of that. He is able to uplift you. He is able to strengthen you because he is who he said he is. He is God Almighty. And I want you to understand this, that Jesus is peace. Not only is he peace, but he can bring peace to your situation. The Bible says, "And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." The moment that Jesus speaks, there is calm. I want you to know, dear friend, that if you would begin to pray, and if you would begin to seek the face of the Lord, you will see that Jesus will speak calm over your life. He will speak calm over every challenge that you have in your life. It does not matter what it is. All of us have our own personal things that we have to deal with, whether it's people or whether it's material things, whether it's finances. All of us have our own personal things that we consider to be a storm. But my friend, whatever your storm is, I want you to know that God has already given you peace. He has already given you peace. Look at verse 40. "And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" How is it that you have no faith? Now, can you imagine Jesus having walked with them and talked with them and taught them? He still has to say to them, why don't you have faith? Dear friend, how many times must God ask us, why don't we have faith? How many times must God remind us that we must believe in him? We must put our trust in him. We must allow him to work on our behalf. We must allow him to handle the things that are too hard for us to handle. We must allow him to be that person in our lives that can take care of everything on our behalf. How many times must God say to us, I have already given you faith, but you must exercise your faith. I have already given you everything that you need, but you must trust me. You must believe me that I'm able to accomplish the things that I have said that I would accomplish. I want you to know, dear friend, that there are many times in our lives where we feel like giving up, but Jesus said, don't give up, dear child. Don't give up, mother. Don't give up, father. Don't give up, friend. Don't give up. Why? Because I am still on your side, saith the Lord. I am still Alpha and Omega. I am still I am that I am. I am still your rock and your shield and your fortress and your strength. I am still able to help you. I am still able to pick you up when you have fallen. I am still able to wipe your tears from your eyes. I am still able to be that shelter in the midst of your storm. I am still able to be that refuge in the midst of your trouble. I am able to do great things in your life, saith the Lord. Trust in me, saith the Lord. I will help you. I will guide you. I will uplift you if you allow me to do so, saith the Lord. My friend, don't be afraid to trust God. God loves you. He cares about you, and he wants you to trust him. Let him be that peace in your life. Jesus got up and calmed the seas. He said, peace, be still. When Jesus speaks, everything must stop in its tracks. When Jesus speaks, even if it seems like there is hellfire all around you, the moment Jesus speaks, it must calm down. Why? Because Jesus is the answer to all your prayers, dear friend. Jesus can help you. Jesus can lead you. Jesus can direct you. I want you to know that he loves you very much. He cares about you. And just the way he calms the seas, he can calm your heart. He can calm your situation. Remember, I started out by saying peace is a lack of anxiety. And so the opposite of anxiety is peace, a lack of anxiousness. In other words, the Bible says be anxious for nothing. So I'm not going to stress. I'm not going to pull my hair out. I'm not going to, you know, scratch my skin and what have you. There are people who all have all types of nervous habits. You know, they bite their nails or they scratch their skin or what have you. All types of things that people do. You don't have to do all of that, my friend. You can put your trust in God because Jesus will bring calm and peace over your situation. The Bible says in verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Even the sea, the wind and the sea obey him. What manner of man is this? Like I said before, they've been traveling with Jesus, but they didn't really know who he is, who he was. Many, many times, dear friend, people sit in our churches for years. They warm our pews for years. They come to church. They listen to the choir sing. They listen to the pastor preach, but do not know who Jesus is for real. I want you to know, dear friend, that if you are one of those people and you don't know who Jesus is for real, this is your moment to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Jesus wants to be Lord of your situation. Turn your Bible with me again to St. John chapter 16. St. John chapter 16, beginning at the 22nd verse. St. John chapter 16, beginning at the 22nd verse. The Bible says, "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man take it from you." Jesus was preparing his disciples for his departure. And he said, for a little while you will have sorrow. For a little while you will suffer some things. For a little while you will go through some things. But don't worry, because after you finish going through what you're going through, you're going to have joy again. You're going to rejoice again. I want you to know, dear friend, that whatever it is that you're going through, it is just for a moment. It is just for a season. God says that after you come through this, you're going to have great joy. You're going to be able to laugh again and sing again. It is just for a moment. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy coming in the morning hour. God has great things in store for you. Hold on. Be encouraged. Let your heart rejoice. Let your heart be glad. Let your heart be merry, because God is turning things around for you. Peace be still. Peace be still. Look at verse 23. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So in other words, Jesus said, well, I'm going back to heaven, and one of these days you won't have me here to be able to talk to one-on-one. But guess what? My Father is still listening to you, and when you ask in my name, in the name of Jesus, he said that whatsoever you ask, he will give it to you. My friend, if you don't have, it's because you have not been asking. Because the Bible says that if you ask in the name of Jesus, that God will hear you and he will answer your prayer. Look at verse 24. It says, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. I like to have joy. I like to have peace. I like to be happy. One of the things that I've always said is when I walk into my house, I need peace. I need to be at rest. I'd rather live, you know, in by myself than to live with someone who is going to gripe and complain and give me a headache. I do not like having a headache when I get home. I like to be at peace. Amen. Amen. And I know I have some witnesses out there that when you get into your house, you like to be at peace. Amen and amen to that. Look at verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say unto you, that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. And so Jesus says, I'm about to leave you. He was talking to his disciples. He says, and I'm going to pray to the Father. And the Father himself loveth you. God loves you, my friend. Have I said that enough? Have you heard it enough? God loves you very, very, very much. And the Bible says that Jesus said that he would pray on our behalf. Look at verse 28. And I came forth from the Father, and I am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Jesus declares that he is the Son of God. He came from God, and he is going back to God. He said that he is in the world, he came into the world, and now he was leaving again and going back. And that's exactly what he did, my friend. He came. He was born of a virgin. He came, he preached, he died on a cross and rose from the dead for you and for me. Jesus loves you, dear friend, and he has come to give you peace in your life, to to give you peace in your heart. And he said to give you an expected end. In other words, the end of your life is going to be a good one, because when you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you know that you are assured of eternal life. One of these days, my friend, we shall meet in a place called heaven, where the streets are paved with gold, and God himself shall be our light. Are you ready for that place? Have you made peace with God? Do you understand that Jesus is your peace, that he will give you rest, and that he can calm every situation in your life? Look at verse 29. It says, his disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. So even before Jesus left, the disciples declared that he was from God. And so if anyone says to you, my friend, that Jesus was not really the Son of God, go to the scripture and point it out to them and let them see that Jesus is in fact God, and that he came to give us life. He came to bring peace into our hearts. He came to bring peace into our lives. And so if your life is chaotic, you need to take a moment, dear friend, and ask God to help you. Ask him to touch you. Ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Ask him to strengthen you. And ask him to direct you. Because God has a call on your life. God has called you to serve him, to be like Jesus. He has called you not only to be like Jesus, but once you become a Christian, to go out and tell other people about Jesus. Dear friend, it is time that we go out and tell other people about Jesus. We are living in the last days. Jesus is coming soon and very soon. You might ask me, why am I doing this broadcast? I could be watching television. I'm doing this broadcast because Jesus is coming soon and very soon. And he is calling all those that have not come as yet to come. It is now time to come. It is now time to listen to the voice of God. God is calling you to come. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you joy. And it is time to allow him to do that. Look at verse 31. Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet am I not alone, because the Father is with me. So Jesus prophesied to them that he was about to go to be crucified, and that they were going to run away and leave him alone. But he said, listen, even when everybody leaves me, I am still never alone, because God the Father is with me. Dear friend, I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know what your circumstance looks like. It might seem as if everyone has scattered and that there's no one around to help you, but I want you to know that God is your help. Even when you have no friend, when you have no family around you, it doesn't matter who is around you. Wherever you go, God is with you. Wherever you're listening from, God is with you. Whatever country you're in, God is with you. I want you to understand that God loves you. He cares about you, and he cares about what you're going through. We were so thankful recently that South Sudan was able to gain independence. They have been fighting a long time. They are a Christian nation, and they have been fighting a long time to try to get independence so that they could worship God the way that they want to worship God. And we say congratulations to the people of Sudan, South Sudan, for being able to gain independence and being able to worship God the way that they want to worship God. I want you to know, dear friend, that there are people in countries that are longing to be able to worship God freely. You, if you're living in a country that allows you to worship God freely, enjoy that freedom. Put your all into it. Put your heart into it. And understand this, that God has not forsaken you, but he wants to give you peace right now. Look at verse 33. The Bible says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In who? Jesus. You can have peace in no other thing but Jesus. You cannot have peace in a statue. You cannot have peace in an idol. There is only one true and living God. The Bible says there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. His name is Jesus, my friend. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus says in this world you will have tribulation. You will have challenges. You will have some bad days, but that's okay. He said that he has overcome. And because he has overcome, we too can overcome. My friend, are you an overcomer? If you are not believing that you are an overcomer right now, you can be an overcomer. Speak the word of God over your life. Pray. Ask God to help you to believe that you too can be an overcomer. Because truly, you are already an overcomer. Jesus has already shed his blood for you, and you have life right now. You have peace right now. You just need to accept that peace. Jesus has given his life as a free gift for you. He died just for you. And I want you to know that if you ask him to forgive you of your sins right now, if you ask him to come into your heart, that he will. Dear friend, be encouraged. Whatever you're going through, Jesus has already given you peace. He's already given you life. Our key verse is Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What must you do to be saved? Ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Understand that you are loved and that Jesus is giving you peace over your circumstances right now. Our closing thoughts for the day are persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There's no such thing as can, and what you believe, you can achieve. Bow your head and let us pray. Dear Lord, we bless you. We honor you. We lift up your holy name, Lord. You are truly worthy to receive glory, honor, and praise. I thank you, Lord, because you just truly love us so much to allow us this privilege to serve you. Lord, I pray for nations around the world. I pray for families everywhere that are struggling to make it. I pray, oh God, that you would bless them emotionally, spiritually, financially. I pray, oh God, that you would just touch hearts and minds right now. We pray for the sick, oh God. You said that we shall pray for the sick and they shall recover. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for that person that has a tumor right on their spine at the back of their neck. I thank you that it's being healed right now. I thank you, Lord God, for that person with cystic fibrosis right now, God, that you are healing right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now that you're healing from lupus. God, that you're healing all kind of blood diseases, God, and skin diseases. God, I thank you right now that you're healing in Jesus' name, that you're delivering right now in Jesus' name. Oh, God, we thank you for sight being restored, for hearing being restored. We thank you, Lord God, for that one that's standing in the gap, for that person that is demon-possessed right now. We thank you for that their loved one will be delivered. Oh, God, we give you praise, glory, and honor, God. We thank you for deliverance right now. We thank you for healing right now. Touch your children everywhere, mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, oh, God, aunts, uncles, grandparents right now, godparents right now. We thank you right now for touching those grandchildren, those families right now that are being restored. We thank you for doing it right now. And we thank you, Lord, that you bring calm and peace over our situation. We thank you that it's already done, and we give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Please listen to this song, God Mine. God bless you. God bless you, dear friend. Thank you for studying with me tonight. Enjoy this song, God Mine. by Second Chance Ministries. You've been studying with Evangelist Faith Reed, Vision. Have a blessed evening, and I will tune in with you another time. Remember that Jesus can bring peace to your life and to your family. God bless you.
Make that summer we bless till we fool. Me and Connie got the blessings are running down. Me and David said, imagine cause I'm half a cup of copper and over. What does it mean?
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.